The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, following Saturday night's Champions League final between PSG and Arsenal, French police detained 780 people involved in violent clashes in Paris and other French cities that erupted following the PSG win. Now, hooliganism was a huge problem in football in the 80s, 70s, 80s and 90s. But should fan behaviour once again come under scrutiny? Joining us to discuss this is Martin Lipton, chief sports writer with The Sun UK. Martin, I'm not sure what to make of what's happened in Paris. A bit of me wonders, is this more connected to societal problems than football? But does football have a problem at the moment, do you think?
I think it's something that's not gone away, but it's far less pernicious and intense than once it was. I mean, I think there is a particular issue with Paris, it seems, at the moment. This seems to happen on a fairly regular occurrence. We had it the same thing last year when they beat Inter Milan, that there was this violence. And it seems to be more of an issue there, where pent-up frustrations with policing and, you know, a lot of these areas where the violence has taken place has been in the sort of suburb areas where there've been sort of huge build-up of disadvantaged people and are looking for some sort of response to other things. But I mean, in the UK, in Ireland, it's an awfully, you know, I don't think it really was a problem in Ireland, in truth, but it certainly was in the UK, and you don't see it anymore. The organised hooliganism of the past, of the 70s, 80s, has gone. There's been a huge change in the makeup of football supporters now, probably because of the cost of going to games. So when you end up with a different clientele, you end up with different behaviour.
Mm. We did see at Euro 2020, the final in Wembley. I mean, there was shocking levels of hooliganism that day, and there's a brilliant documentary about that day, and it interviews some of the people who worked in the stadium, and you could tell 4 or 5 years later, they are still incredibly shook by the events of that day. And it was a miracle people didn't lose their lives that day.
Yeah, it wasn't football hooliganism. It was hooliganism.
Yeah.
It was thuggery. It was violence. It wasn't. Football became the game at Wembley became the opportunity for that to be displayed. It was also after COVID. There's been a release, I think, of 10 people have been so frustrated, I think, over 18 months of not being allowed out. There was all day drinking. There was bad policing, bad organisation on the day, which the FA have admitted to. But it was just thuggery. I mean, the people just wanted to try to get into the ground for nothing. They didn't care about the game. They just wanted to get into the ground for nothing. They wanted to drink. They wanted to attack the police. They wanted to attack the stewards. Football was the excuse. It wasn't the reason.
The other thing, a trend I've noticed, and again, maybe this was always there, but I've heard a number of anecdotal cases of fans who end up in the opposing team section, not wearing colours, but they may, at one point in the game, show a slight sign that they're not with the team that the fans are with. And you get, and I've seen this on social media as well, huge aggression towards that supporter. And unfortunately, that kind of is unique. And I'm a huge football fan, but that is unique to football. You don't get that in rugby. You don't get that in our own Gaelic games. And it's an unpleasant thing, isn't it?
It's a tribality, which is clearly, if anything, has been enhanced by the social media age, I think. People aren't allowed to disagree on anything anymore without being traitors or vicious or nasty. They're always, it's the other. People exist in these echo chambers where, unless you agree with them, you're wrong. And that is, I think, to a degree, translated onto the terraces. It's always been there. That's why we have segregation of ends in football and have done for a very long time. It's not as if it's a new thing.
No.
You've had it for 30, 40, 50 years. That's why you have particular sections at the World Cup and tournaments where one set of fans go and the other set of fans go the other end. It is different in rugby, even if it's sometimes some of the same people. There's a a change of behavioural expectation, I think, when they go to different sports. But that's probably because football is the one game which people argue about in the pub. I mean, maybe in Leinster and Ulster, and they argue about who should be the fifth choice tight head prop, but nowhere in England. But they do argue that for hours over who should be the fifth choice left back.
Yeah, it's true. So, I mean, what does football do? Is this a societal issue more than a football? Like, clearly in the 80s, society and football had to do something, and they did act, and it did take a lot of the edge, a lot of the violence, and you know that gang culture that was there, that went. But are there still things to be done, do you think?
There's always things. Anyway, the moment you think you've cracked a problem is when the problem comes back. So you must continually seek to address potential issues, to pacify, to find a way through, to ensure the experience is better. But it is better. There's no question of that. But if you for one moment think it's all over, then you're opening the doors to chaos again. Unfortunately, because some people will always take advantage of an opportunity, as was proven at Wembley in 2021. So it's really important that no one takes the current existing regime within English football, in particular in the Premier League, for granted, because if you do, then it won't be. There will always be idiots, because guess what? There's idiots in society. There are people who are looking for an excuse to blockade, as we saw last night, a police station in Southampton. Most of them have no idea what they're doing there, but they thought they'd go along with it. There's still a political dimension, I think, to some football supporters. I mean, we don't have organised far-right, far-left groups of supporters in the same way they do in, say, Italy, where certain clubs are very politically aligned and groups of fans are politically aligned. But, you know, the issues with Palace went to Leipzig last week. The fight were between the Crystal Palace fans because of divergent political feelings between the fans. Some on the left and some on the right. So okay. It becomes a political thing as well.
Last question. You touched on this. I thought it was very interesting what you said earlier on about the world we live in and social media and so on. Is it, I mean, I'm being naive here asking this question, I know, but is it possible in any way to do something, to have a campaign, to take a little bit of the hate out of it? You know, you see a North East derby between Newcastle and Sunderland or something, and the venom that's there. I'm not talking about banter and chanting at each other, but there's a real sense of visceral hatred between the two sides. Do we just have to live with that, do you think?
I think it's become heightened. If it's contained on the pitch or on the terraces but doesn't become anything physical, it's not ideal, but I think we can live with it. It's when it becomes more than just words and insults. Then it becomes a problem. But it's very hard to tell people to calm down, because the more you tell people to calm down, the more they get angry, as you find with your own kids and your own pets, things like that. It's just the nature of humanity, isn't it, really?
It is.
People will only change behaviours if they want to. You can't force them to, unless you're in a sort of very draconian regime, which we don't want to live in, do we? We want freedom of choice and freedom of expression and freedom of beliefs. And occasionally that will mean having to deal with things, uncomfortable behaviours and expectations and beliefs and expressions. As long as it's within the scope of the law. When you break the law, it's a different matter altogether. And then there must be heavy-handed response.
Martin Lipton, chief sports writer with The Sun, thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder today.
Thank you very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.